This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. Pleased to be joined in studio by Galesburg School District Superintendent Dr. John Asplund. Wanted to talk about the new Illinois report card statistics that have come out for each district, and of course, District 205 is among them. John, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm excited to be here.
In a story that we had on the air this morning about the report card figures, I saw the words room for improvement in how you described how the district did. Talk a little bit about that if you could.
Well, I mean, if you look at our standardized test scores, which certainly is only one measure of how we're doing, you know, there's definitely room for improvement there in terms of trying to get our students up to, you know, an attainment level that is much more on par with the state average or exceeding the state average would certainly be our goal. But you know, I also want to say that if I go in, when I go into classrooms on a, you know, weekly basis here, I see great things going on. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to just say, well, this, you know, we have problems. You know, there's always room for improvement.
Okay.
And so, you know, we should always be looking to get better than we were the day before. And, you know, in terms of our test scores, you know, we all would acknowledge that we would like to do better than we're doing right now. But I think if you look at it on a day-to-day basis with what we're doing in the classroom, I know our teachers are doing an excellent job of trying to get there.
And I should back up and say we're talking about those who took the PARC test, or Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for Colleges and Careers. And having been in Springfield the last couple of years and covering that school district, they, it sounded like, initially had some issues with the test in terms of waiting for this 1 year, waiting for the scores to come out. The testing model, I think, wasn't it all online?
Yes,
John?
Yes.
Are you seeing any of those problems, or have they all been ironed out at this point?
No, they haven't been ironed out. No. I mean, there's still problems, and now, you know, I think I was already reported as saying, and I will continue to beat the drum, it's really difficult from a practitioner standpoint to say how well we're really doing on the PARC exam, because even though they've labeled the exam the same for 3 years, it's three different tests.
Right.
And so to say that we've made progress or not made progress would really be disingenuous, because the test has changed each year. So
it's almost sort of an apples and oranges sort of comparison, isn't it?
Absolutely. And so in education, something we say all the time is the trend is your friend. And you usually have to use 5 years of comparable data to even make any really statistically significant comments about any one issue. And with PARC, we don't really have 1 year of significant trend data yet.
And I was thinking of that in terms of the Springfield district basically not doing as well as they anticipated they would have even the first year. So, but as you say, it's not a perfect system, and it sounds like you're not going to get anything close to perfect data for a while yet.
No, and you know, when you look at any experiment, okay, and testing is somewhat of an experiment, and yeah, you're saying, where is anybody on the learning continuum on any particular day? You want to have a control. You want to have a constant. You want to have some statistically significant constant in this variable. We don't have them, because there's not a constant in terms of how the test is given. There's not a constant in terms of the nature and the way the test is graded. There's not a constant in terms of how that score relates to the score the year before. So we know that these scores are put out in the public to say this is how your school is doing. But I guess I would like the listeners to know we don't really take the PARC data and go, oh, well, we really need to make changes. Because it's different every year, mm-hmm. So we use more of our internal data set that we have something called Scantron, which is a company. It's not a Scantron test that people be used to filling out bubbles.
Miss the Scantron.
Yeah,
test.
No, it's not. It's an unfortunate name for the company. I will tell you, but that's not what it is. This is a set of tests that we have been giving now. This is year two, and so we need to wait another 3 years even to have some internalized data there. But we needed to have some internal constant in terms of what our data sets are to be able to make any discernible improvements, changes, alterations to what it is we're doing, because we don't really know, because we don't have consistent data. And then when you look at, you know, PARC data only starts at third grade, so what do you do in K-1-2? You know, because that's obviously very impactful for our students as they go to take the third grade exam. And then we don't have any high school data on 9th, 10th, or 11th grade, or 9th or 10th grade, excuse me, to be able to inform us how to change anything for 11th grade. So it's problematic in how the test is given on many levels.
So it sounds like this 2 percentage point increase in the number of students meeting or exceeding, really, on the surface it looks good, but it it's not really anything, is it?
No, and I hate to say that because we want to celebrate success, but yeah. I would rather celebrate real success. And maybe it is real success, but we really don't know because the test has changed.
Okay. In terms of some of what the data does show, we saw one area of concern you had was in how students are doing in math in terms rather compared to language arts, where language arts are doing a lot better than math.
Yeah, if you look at the report card data, it will show that our any one grade level, if you pull out fourth grade or third grade or 11th grade or whatever, it shows that our reading scores are relatively better than our math scores, and that's something that we need to figure out and compare to our Scantron data, our local assessments, and be able to say if there's any crosswalk between Scantron and Park, and can we make any predictions based on that? Because as I said before, we don't want to just start making changes to our curriculum or our instruction if we really don't know if that's going to improve it or not.
Do you see needing to make any changes nonetheless at this point, or again, is it too soon to tell?
Well, right now I think it's a little too soon to tell. What we've been doing this year so far, and we'll be finishing up in April or May, is really tightening up exactly what our curriculum looks like so that we can set up a curriculum review cycle so that our teachers can be very much involved in looking at vertically, you know, if I'm a second grade teacher, how does that impact the third grade class? And then if so on and so forth as you go through, you know, all the way to 12th grade. And looking at what our exit skills are supposed to be for our students. And then next year, after we get the curriculum tightened up, looking at how we do assessments locally. So how do we assess our students every day in the classroom? And how is that assessment informing the student and the teacher on what changes need to be made every day in the classroom? And so once we get those down a little bit tighter in terms of procedurally, and so if a new teacher comes in, they know what they're expected to teach. And we do now, but it just, you know, it's been somewhat haphazard, and we're trying to get all that tightened up now to make sure that the board has it all approved and it's something we can put out there for people to see. And we have all those systems down in place so that we can, if you make one change, you know how it impacts not just that class, but the one before it and the one after it.
Sounds almost as if you're suggesting that maybe curriculum review should be constant when in reality it's not.
Yeah, that's a really excellent summary. I'm going to have you give my statements from now on. You said it much better than I did.
Yes. Well, you know, that's why they pay me the big bucks here, John. No, that's not true. One positive, as we're about to run out of time here, is as we talked about a little bit with an unfortunate incident last week, was the attendance rate coming in at 94%. Good, maybe not where you want it to be, but still 94% is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
According to the stats.
Yeah, 94% is not bad. We would really like to get it to 96. That's a lofty goal, but we think it's an attainable goal. And so, you know, we're getting closer now. Obviously, that last senior skip day is going to harm the high school's numbers. So that's not going to help much.
Don't bring that up again, John.
Right. But, you know, those kind of days, we want to make sure we keep to a minimum or eliminate altogether. But our attendance rate every day shows that our kids are having, you know, meaningful relationships with their teachers, and they want to be here, and they have meaningful relationships with others in the school. And we want kids to look forward to coming to school every day and to have that safe place for them to be able to grow and improve every day.
In terms of this, to sum up, in terms of this report card, if you will, which was a better system, I guess, this Park system or the system that preceded it that was under No Child Left Behind, or is that hard to say?
I will say none of the above. you know, there used to be a system, and this is many, many years ago. We're talking two decades ago. The state used to do something called quality review, where they would bring in a team of educators who would look at all your systems, and they would qualitatively and quantitatively look at what you're doing in your building and in your district. And they would base it off of research and best practice and say, this is how you can improve your systems. And if you look at everything from a systems approach, it's a much more comprehensive way to improve what you're doing in the lives of children. Now, what the state has done and all states have done is they've liked to take it and say, we want to be able to grade you. And that's the ridiculous thing that's coming down the pike next, is we're going to be graded A through F, which I need another half hour to explain why that's a travesty. But you know, that's, you know, a lot of schools, and we're one of them, who are moving away from A through F grades because we want to go to more standards-based reporting and be very detailed about how students are progressing on the learning continuum in lots of different facets of their education. But our state is then saying, you know what, we're just going to take all the things that you do, never mind, you know, all the societal factors, never mind the economic factors, never mind all these other things, and we're just going to put one letter grade on you to label you. How can you compare us, Galesburg 205 in Knox County, Illinois, to New Trier High School? How can you compare us to Wheaton Warrenville High School? How can you compare us to Lake Forest High School? How can you compare us to Williamsfield High School, even in our vicinity? They're two different worlds. And to be able to boil that down to one letter in the alphabet and say that's a B or you're a D or you're an it's ludicrous.
Thanks to the need on a federal level to come up with a national agenda, so to speak, in this matter.
Well, and I think it goes back to the, you know, the society's need to have a 20-minute story arc to have resolution and everything and really get back to, you know what, I need a simple answer. Tell me who to blame. Tell me what the problem is, but make sure it's so simple that I can just go, oh, yeah, it's your fault. You know, life doesn't work that way. We have all sorts of things that go on in our society that you know, situations that have taken decades to create situations to where we now are looked at to make have to resolve those things in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's ridiculous. And it's promising things that are just, you know, unable to deliver on. And so it's very frustrating in that sense to try to explain to people, yeah, okay, we're going to be a letter grade now. I mean, it goes beyond the pale for me and really in everything we stand for in education to really try to fight that type of messaging to the community, because I would invite anybody to come to our schools any day and really see what we're doing. And I'm very proud of it.
Well, it's funny you mentioned you need another half hour to talk about this stuff, because much to my surprise, when I asked you to come on tonight, you're going to be Tom Meredith's guest on Galesburg Live on Saturday morning in the 8 o'clock hour. So
that's
you
right.
can take all of that half hour you want and explain this to the best.
All right. Well, I want you to have some listeners left at the end of it. And so I might put some people to sleep with everything I have to say. But no, I am looking forward to this Saturday. I think Tom and I will have a good time.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you coming in today. And we'll talk again on Saturday.
Thank you.
District 205 Superintendent John Asplund on Galesburg's Evening News. Sports coming up next on WGIL.